Welcome to the Seattle Kitchen Show on Cairo Radio. Back for another week. Chef Terry Rotero, the chef in the chapeau. Good morning, Chef.
Good morning, Tom Douglas. How are you doing today?
Super good. Sunny and beautiful out.
Oh, man, I love it.
Yeah. Spectacular.
Exciting.
How did it go? I'm desperate to know. How did it go? I've tried to order three times from your place, and it feels like you're open for about 15 minutes a day because I have been unable to successfully place an order.
No. So,
you're in the restaurant business. I don't know if you know that or not, but when people call, typically you answer the phone.
So, you know how you...
And you take an order, and then you charge them. I've tried three times.
You know what? It's the price of success. What do you want from me?
Okay.
Just leave it at that. No, it's doing great. It's a growing business. You know, it's something new for us, very new. I mean, you've done Tugo much more than me for many, many years, and you know all the components of the retail industry. For me, it's very new, and for us as a team.
Are you saying you've never put something in a Tugo bag in the 30 years you've been
running restaurants? No, we have, but not... as a business, as a main business like we're doing right now, which is it's a different focus and different, it's just a different thing. You have to build this whole website and, you know, there's all kind of different components that people don't probably know about that involve reopening as a different business, basically. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're still in the making food and selling food.
You still haven't answered my question. Why is it that I've called three times?
Because you're not watching.
And I haven't been able to order dinner yet.
Let me explain you the game.
Because, you know, I had money in my pocket until I lost it on the golf course, and then that was it. It was gone.
Well, you were coming for a free meal. That's why we closed.
Anyway, I'm Tom Douglas, chef owner here of the Seattle Takeout here at the Ballard
Serious
Warehouse.
Serious Takeout.
Serious Takeout. Thank you for that. As you can see in the sign behind me, what's now called the... Can you catch that sign, Mark?
The Ballard Warehouse,
Warehouse Kitchen, where we have our Rub with Love, our Serious Takeout. Yesterday we did On the Dock, which is the pop-up dock, which we did a burger for National Burger Day. We did a burger pop-up situation on the dock while Serious Pie stayed open on the other side of the dock.
Oh my God, it was crazed.
We do the World Central Kitchen here, which is shelter meals and senior center meals for about 600 people a day. And we are going to continue the process until we don't. As we know, that can happen at any moment, at any day. So, like I said, I'm Tom Douglas. Thanks for you for listening and being our loyal listeners. Tina's here today on our producer.
Yep.
She is the better-looking third of the three of us.
Thank God she's here to balance this thing out.
And... she's also the recipient of your Patreon dollar. So if you want to join us and help produce this show with Tina, just join up on Patreon and become a monthly subscriber. Huh, Tina?
It's super fun. And when we record this show, we record with a virtual audience. And so you can watch us behind the scenes on Friday mornings. We record from 9 a.m. to noon. And you could join the backstage, see the show before, and hear the show before anybody else gets it, before it airs on Cairo Radio on the weekends. And you can participate during the show and ask questions and stuff. We have a really super fun group that's watching the show right now.
I have my chat up. I don't usually have that up because I'm not that sophisticated. But
today
a couple
you're watching.
Of cool things going on right now. Local strawberries are in.
Yes.
I tried to get local for my Memorial Day box last week and didn't quite. There was just a little mix of time there, and I didn't quite get local. We got our first flush at the farm, but they were a little tart this week. Super sweet. Mm. Had a little sunshine, sweetened them right up. It was awesome. So
I had my first alpine strawberry, you know, those little tiny strawberries in my backyard yesterday.
Nice.
Cool.
First one, bright and red and ripe.
And ripe all the way through, right?
Wow, yeah, I was impressed.
Mine are still green.
You know what really helps? I keep frozen fruit, frozen local fruit from, I think it's from Remlinger or one of those berry farms. We made a jam out of local strawberries and then tossed that with our strawberries that we could buy commercially.
Uh-huh.
Really helped the color and the flavor a ton.
Sure.
So instead of just – normally I puree a couple of those berries in my strawberry shortcake and then I just mix that in with the berries. But they weren't red enough. They were they tasted good, but they weren't red enough. So I just used the jam to stir in. Beautiful.
Nice and bright.
Love that. Yeah. We're doing our show here. We know that COVID-19 is out there, and we are well aware, but this is your two-hour reprieve to just kind of sit back, relax, cook, dream, travel in your head, go to all the places you want to go, hang
out
in your garden.
It's much cheaper that way.
Sadly, I was coming back from Madison Park yesterday, and there was a large traffic jam on I-5 going southbound. The first one I've seen in 8 weeks.
Really?
Yeah, first traffic jam in 8 weeks that I've come across. Wow. Except, I shouldn't say that. I was coming back. I was going to the farm on Memorial Day, going eastbound. And westbound was backed up an hour coming back to Seattle on Sunday afternoon.
Interesting. So,
it was, yeah, a couple of traffic jams. Says to me we're getting back to normal.
Yeah, he's getting back to
Seattle. Anyway, normal. We hope you enjoy this two-hour reprieve. Chef, well, we have a big show. Frank Gonzalez. I haven't seen Frank in for many years.
I saw
of
him a few
produce.
Months ago at Pike Place Market. He was at Frank's.
Was he?
Yeah, and I was like, wait, what are you doing here? He's the one who bagged my vegetables. I was like, Frank, what are you doing here? And he was he opened a restaurant on the south end.
Yeah, Burien, he opened the restaurant. Yeah. Frankie's B-Town Bistro. So we're going to talk to Frank a little bit. We're going to give our guide to the perfect burger. And I think there's several perfect burgers out there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There's just different styles, and there's some perfection in each style. We're going to name some of our favorite cookbook recommendations for the summer, and our Food for Thought Tasty Trivia Challenge is wrapping up the second hour of the show. So hang with us. It's going to be fun times. Now we're going to jump into Ordinary to Extraordinary. And it's on to you, Chef. I know you love popsicles. and have you ever had a popsicle?
Yes.
You have 1 minute to tell me how you'd make it better.
I would pour a fresh, you know, you were talking about your strawberry. You macerate them in syrup, in a little sugar overnight. You puree that as a syrup.
Mm-hmm.
You strain it, and then you pour that right over your popsicle before you eat it.
What do you got against a couple seeds in your strawberry popsicle?
I get, well, you know, why have seeds if you don't have to? I mean, I don't need to plant a fresh strawberry plant in my stomach. You know, it's okay.
Okay.
I have nothing against it, but I
Sounds
would prefer
like
that there would be none in there. How's that?
Okay. All right.
It's a matter of preference.
It seems natural.
But you take that syrup, basically, and you put it on your popsicle, or you make a popsicle out of it. The problem with that heavy syrup is it's not going to freeze very well. So that's my only concern. But dumping your popsicle as it comes out of the freezer into that syrup, it will stick to the popsicle, and it's extra flavor.
Mm. That's a pretty good idea. I like that last part there. Do you ever add cream to your popsicles? Will it make them creamsicles?
No, I'm going to have ice cream. It's kind of like sherbet versus sorbet or versus ice cream. I'm kind of like, no, I go one way or the other. I'm not so much in the middle.
When I was growing up, creamsicles were the bomb.
Oh, yeah?
I still, to this day, get it. That taste memory is just awesome in my head.
Well, this is the time to start thinking about it, so.
Exactly. Okay. Let's head over into segment two. Our guest is going to be Frank Gonzalez when we come back on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. Hey, welcome back to the Seattle Kitchen Show on Cairo Radio. It's Chef Tom Douglas.
And Chef Terry Rotiro, the chef in the hat.
We're coming to you from Sirius Takeout over here in Ballard, 52nd and 14th Northwest. If you're ever heading out to Ballard, you go right over the Ballard Bridge. You look for the Amazon Go store at 52nd. Take a right one block east, and that's where we are. Sitting upstairs in the lunchroom right now with the whole crew, Mark and Tina, and we got a good old friend here on the line of the Seattle Kitchen Show. It's Frank Gonzalez. Hey, Frank.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Oh, doing great. Look at this beautiful weekend we're having.
Yeah. Time to go break out the golf club.
I played yesterday, as a matter of fact, and I lost three cheeseburgers on number 18 at the club. We were betting all day, back and forth, and then the bet was three cheeseburgers for his family, and then on 18, I hit the ball out of bounds off the tee box, and that was that.
Nice going.
Yeah, thanks.
Nice going. Sounds like my game. Would you lose to Charlie?
No, I didn't, but almost, yes. tell us about what you're doing, Frank. What are you up to?
Well, you know, I opened this restaurant up about 5 years ago, Frankie's V-Town Bistro in Burien. And we've done pretty well. Of course, we've run into this brick wall. So one of the things we've been doing is I just did a survey with our clientele and asked what they thought would be safe openings for them, and kind of went with the responses and put up some partitions and turned the place into a safe, cozy little restaurant. So we're ready to open whenever the powers to be let us go do that.
Yeah.
But like everybody else, we had to lay everybody off. And so we're kind of just seat of the pants, doing a little to-go. Grandma's recipes. You guys remember my grandmother and stuff like that from the market in the old days.
Mm. Yeah. Absolutely.
Pasqualina.
Yep.
I bought many a bunch of the basil and flat leaf parsley from Pasqualina over the years.
Many a bunch. Yeah. That's true. Actually, I think we raised some basil for you one time on my dad's old farm years ago. I can't remember all this stuff. You can't do things in years anymore. It's got to be decades.
It goes much faster that way.
Terry said he was down roaming the market a couple of months ago, and you were working the Frank's Quality Produce stand.
Still working.
Wow. Good for
still
you.
Still working. Still trying, trying to keep the doors open.
We should mention to our listener that you're not just Frank, you're also Frank's from Frank's Produce. You're the one who's holding that stand down in Pike Place Market, probably one of the most famous stands. Yeah. I think you and Sauce.
Yeah, 42 years there, Frank's Quality Produce.
Yeah, I mean, that's quite outstanding. Yeah. I remember you were the first vegetable stand I sat foot in at Pike Place Market 33 years ago when I came to Seattle.
I remember.
And I can't forget
that. I remember.
And
nobody could understand what you were talking about.
Well, you know, between the French and the Italian, we're safe.
There's a picture of you. I saw it down there with a circle and a slash in it.
Oh, yeah, probably. Oh,
your face on there. Like picking up raspberries and strawberries off the stand and just eating while you're talking.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, Frank, let's
Tom,
talk.
I remember when you opened up Cafe Sport.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a...
That was a long time ago.
It wasn't that long ago, Frank. Thank you very much.
Hell, it wasn't, boys.
Let's talk about Grandma's Recipes for a second. We have an old-school Italian pop-up coming here on June 1st, and we're making chicken parm sandwiches and red sauce and lots of pasta and all sorts of things. Tell me about old-school Italian. And is it what I think it is kind of being Italian-American, or is that old-school Italian real Italian food? You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes it gets confusing.
Old school, real Italian is fresh and simple.
Fresh and simple.
Fresh ingredients, simple sauces, nothing complicated, fresh herbs. And, you know, of course, the old timers used to put that extra touch of love into it, so it always tasted great, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. What do you think that love
was? Yeah, we're doing the chicken parm and stuff like that, too.
What do you think that love is? Is that just letting it settle on the stove for a bit, not being more patient with your sauces, letting things cook out a bit? What is that old-fashioned love?
Well, I think that's a combination of that, but it was just the quality of wanting the very best for the families and stuff like that, the flavors and the coming together of it. Like I was telling somebody just the other day, my grandmother, you know, that's where I learned whatever I know, and you could never ask her how much of this or how much of that. He said, it's too much. And it's a known amount. You put a little more. <You know? laughs> So it was their taste. You know, what tasted great to them. And, of course, we grew up with those flavors. And more than anything, it was just having the family around the dinner table all the, you know, every day, lunch and dinner. And, you know, we had the little farm out there. It was a different lifestyle.
Yeah, for sure.
But, Pasqualina, my grandmother, all the old timers down at the market, they all made the Easter pizza, and they all, of course, everyone's was better than the other one. So that's the way the old Italians used to grade their quality. Theirs was always better. You know what I mean?
So Pasqualina was a trash talker.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. He was a trash talker. They all were. Trust me. They all were.
Pasqualina, when I used to go by her stall and pick out the layers and layers of basil, she'd have them all bunched up and the flat leaf, and she would tell me, you know, you got to do about a third flat leaf to two-thirds parsley.
Right.
And toast your walnuts or pine nuts, either one. And but she was never short on words.
Never. Never.
She was a
special lady. She was definitely the face of the market for many, many
absolutely.
Years. My grandmother used to work right next to her. In fact, they came from the same hometown in Italy.
Isn't
so they
that
were
crazy?
Really close. I think I'm kind of related to Pasqualina. You know, well, I know my godmother was her stepdaughter, so
wow, crazy.
I know there's some kind of connection there. But I remember Pasqualina used to tell the ladies they'd pull up a carrot and say, can you wash this carrot for my baby? And Pasqualina used to say, hey, everybody got to eat a little of earth to make you well.
That's right. A little bit of earth. Hey, tell us about your philanthropy business, or not business, but doings. You're a big fan of Make-A-Wish?
Yes, my wife is, well, we're both involved, but Sue does all of that. She's Wish Granter. She's been involved for about 6-7 years, and we've had a lot of Make-A-Wish families come through the restaurant there for birthdays and things like that. Then she greets the families at the airport. She dresses up like Minnie Mouse. She's just totally involved. It's a great cause. We love it, and a lot of satisfaction from seeing these kids, just get an uplifting day or out of a life of, just pain and suffering, and then be able to just have this one day to themselves where everything they ever dreamed for is being granted. And it's a great organization. It's totally evolved to the kids, and we do the Make-A-Wish tree for Christmas. We got like almost 200 gifts last year, so
wow,
we get a lot of community support from it too. Yeah, she's totally involved in that.
The kids are the next generation. We gotta help them.
That's for sure. Well, we've been talking to Frank of Frank and Jews Gonzalez. They have a restaurant in Burien that's ready to open as soon as the Gov says that we can. That's Frankie's B-Town Bistro at 653 Southwest 152nd Street in Burien, Washington. He's known as the Cheers of Burien, which has got to make it extra special hard when people can't come. And because you get your neighbors, and you don't get to see your family, basically, as they come through your restaurant. So
we grew up here. Sue and I both grew up here.
Yeah.
So we know pretty much everybody out here. We've lived here all our lives. So.
You certainly know each other.
73 years, by the way.
Yeah, you certainly know each other. You're having your 53rd wedding anniversary in August. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Coming up. Yeah, coming up.
All right. Well, thanks, Frank. Thanks for sharing a little bit about what's going on down there in Burien Town.
Okay.
Great to hear
from you guys.
You stay well. I'll be at the market at noon today, so see you then.
Are you coming down to the market today?
I'm coming down.
Okay. Right.
Let's have a little parade, a little eggplant parade. Up next, we're going to talk burgers here on the Seattle Kitchen Show on Cairo Radio, 97.3 FM. And we are back in the Seattle Kitchen here at the Sirius Takeout location, 52nd and 14th Northwest in Ballard, where you can get Sirius Pie starting in, I think, a week or two, 7 days a week. Right now it's only 5 days a week, Wednesday through Sunday. And our pop-ups are Mondays and Tuesdays. So Tuesdays generally
good for
is
you.
Tuesday tacos. This coming Monday, I want to say the 1st of June, is old school Italian chicken parm sandwiches.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. If you want to buy them in advance, you just go to our website and just buy them in advance. And when you're looking for Terry's website of where you can buy his beef bourguignon, I wouldn't have a clue how to do that because I've tried.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you now.
I tried three times this week and I couldn't buy a thing. I will say one of the things we forgot to mention with Frank on the last segment was that his restaurant, while he's getting ready to open to the public when the governor says so, it is open for to go now.
Right.
At Frankie's B-Town Bistro. So just
and I want to mention that we are open for to go as well.
Mm-hmm.
Both Lule and Luke. Lule for lunch.
It's funny, I tried both.
Lule for lunch between 11 and 1:30 p.m. You can either come to the window, pre-order, or call online. And for dinner, it's between 4 and 7. And same thing, you can pre-order online, you can call, or you can just come
when
at the window.
Luke, the guy said, oh, no, you have to order in advance.
Correct. That was until 2 days ago. Now
what kind of restaurant is that?
Now we're getting to the page with where you are, Mr. Douglas, which is... whatever, just call, just order online, or come at the window, and we'll serve
you. I'm so excited to get my beef bourguignon.
Yes, so it's four
at Luke. Maybe in a month or two.
At Luke, Tuesday through Saturday, 4 to 7 p.m. Any of the
burgers in three different classifications.
Okay,
let's do the $5 or $6 and under burger.
Right.
Let's do $10 to $15, and then the over $15, and let's set our expectations for each.
Okay.
And why do we think one is more valuable than the other?
Okay.
All right?
Yep.
One of the things I would say, number one, on $5 burgers or $6 burgers, they never come with anything.
Correct.
Right? Generally.
It's usually the bun and the patty, and that's it.
Yeah, well, you can get a Dick's Deluxe for $4 or something of that nature, but it doesn't come with French fries or any of that sort of thing. So, in the $5 burger range, you're stuck in McDonald's land, Wendy's land, and really on a bit of a more plain burger.
Correct.
And what makes them good or sets them apart for me when I get those kind of burgers is the sear on the patty.
Correct.
I like a good hard sear, and that's why I say when I go to Dick's, I never go if there's no line. Because what happens is as that burger sits there and waiting for you to come up, it softens the crispness.
Correct.
And you don't ever get that crunchy edge on the meat itself. So when I want to go to Dick's, I always wait for there to be a line. If I'm driving by, I'm not even hungry. If I see a line, I'll get in line. Because then I know the burger's coming off really fast, and I can still get my crunchy edge that I adore about cheap burgers.
I have a preference to eat a burger just as it's made versus putting it in a box and take it with me and eat it like 25 minutes later.
Yeah, that's a luxury not everyone has.
No, I understand.
I'm proud that you have that time.
Luxury. It's also a matter of choices, Tom. You make the choices of what you prefer to do.
Yes and no. Like just many like people at our burger pop-up yesterday, there was no place to sit. They had to kind of go away. Or they could go back to the car and eat it right away. But it's at one point, when it's a to-go burger, it goes in a bag or a box or a wrap.
Right. I know.
Just the way it is. You can't have it like...
No, you can't have it both ways, I guess, huh?
Okay, so that's the thing for me. I like a toasted cheap bun, a squishy bun, and a crispy edge on the meat. Okay, when you go up into a $10 burger, let's say now we're in the Red Mill category.
I think one thing that...
Little Woody's, Red Mill kind of stuff.
One thing that I want on my burger is definitely a leaf of lettuce of some kind to hold on that juice and make sure my buns don't get so soggy wet. And then when I squeeze and I eat my burger, I like to have that juice in that lettuce so it kind of like, you know, keeps the whole thing moistens and everything, but not mixed with the bread. Just me. What do you think of that statement?
Well, I think it's nonsense.
Okay.
And the reason I say that, and I'm not trying to be flippant. I'm just saying that lettuce is 95% water, and as soon as you put it between two hot pieces of bread on top of a hot burger, it wilts and makes it watery. And you just said you like it because it catches the juice, and it doesn't.
The
bun catches the juice.
Correct, but when you put the burger straight onto the bun, and if your bun is not often, for me, not toasted enough. It gets soggy really right away because all the juice from the meat is falling in there.
Right.
And that's the part I like to usually try to separate from that.
Well, there's two things about that, right? One is the squishy bun, which a lot of cheap burgers, like Shake Shack, has a squishy bun.
Right.
They made their reputation on that bun. It was toasted, but it's squishy.
Right.
And they made that okay, and it's awesome.
Right.
But as you get into that $10 burger, you tend to get a little bit bigger bun, a little bit bigger burger. And like at Red Mill, for example, you get a little more toast on the bun.
Yeah.
I like the sesame seeds on the bun. It just is a little bit different experience. I like that you can adjust all the different things on there.
And the onions and the grilled onions that they offer is also delicious.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really good stuff. But I really like, I think Red Mill is a great burger in terms of how the thoughts of like the choices as well as what you get in the end.
Good bacon,
yeah. The bacon and the onions are done perfectly well. They're not burned, they're not dry, they're not, you know, like bacon can go from the greatest thing in the world to the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, kind of almost crispy sweet to overly crispy bitter.
Right.
The thing at Red Mill that I don't like, I always say no lettuce on mine because they use big, beautiful leaves of green leaf, right? And to me, by the time I get to it, just as you say, in the box or in the wrap or something, it's just a soggy mess. And I don't like my – so I always get my no green leaf. Yeah. You know what's really good, though, is to get their Verde burger, which is their roasted chili burger. Well, it's their vegetarian burger.
Right.
But add a beef patty to it. I mean, I like it both ways, but that Verde burger –
I love vegetarian with a beef patty, please.
Well,
no, I get
like
it.
I said, I like it both ways, but a beef patty, it's like having chili, like beef chili, right?
Right.
It's so good, but the chilies themselves are fresh, and I really liked it. Okay, so that's the $10 burger, and that's when it's ramped up.
Yeah, it's
right?
10 to 15.
I think their base burger is like $7 or $8.
Right.
Plus, as soon as you add bacon or cheese or whatever.
Yeah, it's 10 to 15 is the range, yeah.
So how about the over 15? Now, you and I live in our fancy restaurants. Lived in that world. Like the burger at Palace Kitchen was a $19 burger.
Yeah, my burger at Lula is $19 also.
So what do you think is important about that burger that makes it worth?
Well, for me,
number one, it comes with fries, right?
Well, no. Number one is the beef. You have to buy. To me, it has to taste a certain way to be a much better burger in terms of, to me, the burger, ultimately, it's all about the patty. Like, what are you going to be left in your mouth flavor-wise and all that? You're going to test that beef, and there's a lot of it in the burger. To me, that's so important that the beef really tastes like beef.
So on a $19 burger, you're saying how much beef? Like, ours is an 8-ounce burger.
It's 6.5 ounces.
6.5 ounces.
I don't want to go... 8 ounce to me is a little bit too, I can't even finish my burger
right
when I eat it. I think it's a lot of food.
Especially if you add egg and a bacon.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
that.
If you start putting caramelized onion and bacon and, you know, all that stuff in there, I mean, you're looking at a 10-ounce burger. I'm like, that's a lot of food.
What else makes it a $19 burger? Like, we make our own buns.
Well, I think we, yeah, exactly. The bun is extremely important. The quality of the bun is very important. It has to be a cut between a bread and a bun. Now, to me, when you get to that level, that needs to be thought of super well toasted, so there is no sogginess. To me, that's the difference between an honor, you know, less expensive and a more expensive. It should have no sogginess in your burger. It should have some give, but not, you know, not like not mush paste.
Right.
And
so for us, we take we pickle green tomatoes for our burger. I like the bite, having a crunchy tomato in there compared to, say, an unripe off-season tomato.
Right. You cannot beat a fresh, beautifully ripe heirloom tomato. I mean, that is definitely...
Well, or pickled, like I said, I use pickled green tomatoes, but whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, a fresh tomato is definitely beautiful.
We used to make our own ketchup. I didn't... Now we take Heinz ketchup and we put it in our smoker and we make smoked Heinz ketchup. But it's just as good. We couldn't make a better product for ketchup, what people want when they want ketchup.
Yeah, we make a tomato kind of stew at Luc that we mix, and we put that as a layer on the burger. Mm-hmm. And I think it makes a huge difference as well. But it's not ketchup. It's just a nice tomato stew, very tomato-y. And it's got a mix of tomato in the can, the whole tomato, and a little bit of tomato paste, and really cooked down with onions and everything, just like a good tomato sauce. And then that's what goes on the burger in terms of you get... Harissa aioli, you get the tomato on the other side, you get the onion, caramelized onion and bacon jam, and the burger,
right,
and a leaf of lettuce, of course, because we start with that.
And to me, there's two other factors, right? One is the quality of the bacon.
Yeah,
we always had used Bavarian meats, and then Zoe's cheese. We use Beecher's flagship.
Yeah,
and we mix 75% cheese with 25% butter, so that it has a better melting about it. And then it's just the... That, to me, is what makes a $19 burger, is thinking about all those different layers of flavor and why... And, of course, we cook ours over wood fire, which is really...
That's the key.
The
also, yeah.
Yeah.
That's definitely a beautiful touch.
Yeah. All right, Tina Stain, we have to wrap it up. I just got into that. Got into those burgers. Yesterday, even our cheap burger, $7 burger, was cooked over wood fire. Makes all the difference.
Yeah.
All right. Cookbook recommendations coming up next on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. We're back in the Seattle kitchen on Cairo Radio. I'm Tom Douglas.
And I'm Terry Roturo, the chef in the hat.
So,
yes,
chef,
Tom? You're exhausted
favorite
already?
Favorite taste of the week?
Morels. I got my first morel of the year.
Ooh. Yeah?
Jaja, I love morel. I think they're a beautiful, beautiful mushroom.
I like their texture. I don't think they have much flavor.
Oh.
I know that's... Oh, sacrilege.
Oh,
yes,
no. Pas du tout, Tom.
Oh.
I'm not talking about spring morel, like the two-piece morel. I'm talking about the real morel.
I know what you're talking about. And so tell people what the difference
those were
between
lightly,
the morels.
I'm sorry?
Tell people the difference between the false morels and the real morels.
The false morel is a two-piece morel where you can detach the leg or the stem from the cap. The real morel is one-piece mushroom.
Mm-hmm.
The cap and the stem are the same mushroom, same piece.
Right.
So that's the difference. Around here, we have a lot of spring morel that pops up this time of year. And they are similar, but they're very, for me, they're a lot less in flavor. And they're also a lot wetter and a lot, they melt down in the pan very differently than the regular morel. But morel with peas and a little bit of couscous.
Mm-hmm.
Oh
yeah, I know it's a tradition, and I know you love it. But
and
there's
also
just no flavor in the morels. There's more flavor in the peas than there is in morels.
Well, okay, we'll go that route. How about if you take your morel, put them on a rack, lightly smoked, and then saute your morel and put them with your peas.
Well, don't they grow in a burn after
yes,
a burn?
Yes, that's
so then they're lightly smoked already.
Okay. How about lightly smoke more? He just doesn't want them to be a good mushroom.
No, I would love them to be a good mushroom, and I think they're beautiful, and I use them, but I like them for their texture more than I like them for their flavor. That's all I said.
Interesting.
It's okay. It's okay.
Have you ever made a Morel cream sauce?
I have.
With a little brandy and...
You know how I always make it? I take dried porcinis and I soak
you mean dry
them
Morel.
And I use the liquor to give it actually some mushroom flavor in my Morel mushroom cream sauce.
Because dried Morels are also very good for that.
Okay.
I mean, that's usually a good...
We'll just have to agree to disagree.
Yeah.
So that's your taste of the week, and you
Yes, it reminded me how much that mushroom is so glorious, and regardless of what Tom Douglas say, I think Morels are delicious. And next week, I'm going to do a Morel and salmon dish grilled on the barbecue, on the barbecue, uh-huh. on the patio at Luc on Wednesday. I'm going to do a salmon Morel leeks couscous plate.
Mm-hmm.
$25.
$25.
Nice.
Come on in and get it.
And will you answer the phone or go on? Will you actually take
I got
an
other
order?
Things to do besides answering the phone, okay. Tom. Only when you call, I answer
kind of
the phone.
It's hard to make a sale if you don't answer the phone.
Boy.
My favorite
www.chefinahat.com. All your answers will be out there.
Okay, perfect. Good. I'm looking forward to that Wednesday, right? You said?
Yeah, Wednesday.
Okay, good. I'm going to do a Copper River salmon pop-up. And I'm curious because you have to charge a lot of money for Copper River.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm curious if people will buy it or not.
So it's funny. We're going the other way. I'm going lower and you're going higher. That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, that's my team said, do we want to use the Bristol Bay? Because that's what I support so often.
Yeah.
And well, right now with the Copper River running, I'm going to skip the Bristol Bay and go direct Copper River sockeye. And if I can get it. So,
yeah.
But I am curious if the customer is willing to spend for the Copper River.
That's expensive.
I know it is expensive. It's double the price.
Yeah.
If not more.
So, yeah.
It's going to be interesting. I'm just curious. And the thing that I really feel about if I'm going to do it, I have to do a large enough portion.
Yeah.
Which oftentimes in the restaurant, you do a smaller portion because you have, you know, asparagus and you've got all this and this and this on the plate. Whereas when it's focused on the Copper River, I feel like it needs to be a larger portion.
Right.
So I'll be curious.
Yeah, but I mean, a larger portion, we're talking 6 ounces or 7 ounces, not...
7 to 8, I would say. Is
yeah, maybe
larger.
8.
If it's skin on, I would say 8 ounces.
Yeah, that's a larger portion. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're right. Cool.
I continue to get takeout. Last night, I was... very concerned, or 2 nights ago, I was very concerned. It was late. I had a drink with a friend after work, and so it was 9:30. It's like, who's still open at 9:30?
Is there anybody open at 9:30?
Yes, there was. I was so relieved.
What?
Because certainly you weren't, and I wasn't.
No, I wasn't.
But I was coming up. I have a favorite kind of family Indian restaurant that I go to up at Northgate called Saffron.
Yeah.
And it's kind of an Indian Mediterranean mix.
Uh-huh.
So they use, that's a funny combo, but that's what he does. And it's a nice dude that owns it. And every time I see him there, he tries to buy me dinner. And I wouldn't let him buy me dinner this time because it's tough out there, you know?
Of course.
But normally I sit at the bar there and just order a couple of things out of the tandoori and have some naan and I'm done. But anyway, 9:30 they were open. So I ordered butter chicken and then I also ordered shrimp coconut curry to go.
Mm-hmm.
With some samosas and a spinach flatbread. Oh, my God, was that a lot of food. It's like $45, and I just ate my fourth meal out of that to go this morning for breakfast before I got here.
Wow.
It was so much food. I had it on, what day is today? Friday. So I had it on Wednesday night, Thursday morning, Thursday night, and Friday morning. And I didn't even finish it. I just finally said, okay, enough is enough. And I put the rest in the compost bin. But inexpensive, really well done, I thought.
What's the place called again, Tom?
Saffron Grill up at Northgate. And it's on the west side of I-5. Right across, there's a McDonald's there. There's an Arby's there. You know, I know where all the fast food joints are, so...
So on that, Rome, I have a question for you because I'm getting into these to-go things as well as everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think people expect, because that's a question that comes out often, do you think people expect to have leftovers when they are ordering to-go from a meal?
I would say your customer does not. There's certain restaurants that they do, like a teriyaki joint.
Right.
You know, they always serve you too much rice, too much sauce, some of them too much meat.
Right.
This particular place... huge portions. I mean, double what I would serve in a restaurant.
Right.
And so
So you don't
perfectly tasty and delicious. I loved it.
So when you make to go, you don't make it thinking I gotta make dinner and I'm gonna make sure they have some leftover for lunch. Okay,
I do. Not.
I just want to make sure because I'm the same way. I think, you know, why bother? You know, buy another thing for lunch or buy. You know, it's like anyway. I just wanted to.
Well, it's a little bit different style when you think about it. Like in Chinese food, Indian food is somewhat the same way, the way I get it when it's takeout. Right. When you order buttered chicken, you get a big pile of rice.
Right.
And this was delicious basmati long grain rice. And you get a big scoop of the chicken and the sauce, a lot of sauce. But there is nothing else.
Correct.
So you're paying for just the buttered chicken. If you want vegetables, you have to buy vegetables, right?
Right, right.
And that's the same way generally in Chinese restaurants.
Right.
Unless you're buying, say, broccoli beef, where you get a vegetable and a protein combination, which, by the way, is probably the healthier way to eat.
Correct.
Because so often we eat too much protein. And I know a lot of people are on that keto diet and stuff like that, but the more vegetables, in my mind, the better. I like it.
I'm with you.
I love vegetables. So... but anyway, so my shrimp curry sauce and rice. And so there's very focused. I happen to have 2 pounds of asparagus in my fridge. So I just chop up a little asparagus and put it right in with my curry when I reheat it. I had a leftover lamb chop from a week ago that was still delicious. So I chopped that up and put it in some of the butter chicken curry,
right?
You know, and with asparagus. by the way, that's not why it went so far. There was still more rice and still more sauce.
Right.
All sorts of things. But anyway, so that's my suggestion right now. If you want a good to-go meal, and if you're one of those folks that loves leftovers, Saffron Grill up at Northgate was really on the money. And he listens to our show.
Yeah.
Can't beat that, right?
You know what? Even better.
Exactly.
Nice.
We talked about getting into cookbooks, and Kevin Stadler had given us a request for that, but we're not quite ready this week.
We can do it next week.
So we'll do it next week.
Yep.
I'll be ready next week. Hour two coming up. Hang with us. It's going to be a great second hour on the show. Chef Brittany Bartleben is going to join us. So much more on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM.